What a blessing. Did you enjoy learning about your own country? What a shock. How many didn't know some of the things? Yeah. You the young ones, you don't know your country. It's a blessing. But we thank God that He gave us the grace to, you know, have crusades. Because when you watch television, you see white and black people on the TV, SABC. So you think that the white and the black people are together. But when you go for a crusade, you see that there is nothing together. Never. There is no mixing at all. Is it not true? Yeah. So we were surprised. But we prevailed. Amen. And we thank God for His blessing. Hallelujah. Let us pray. I want to share something that I don't usually talk about. So I want you to lift your hand and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart in a moment. Father, we are thanking you for your blessing, for your word. We are grateful today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to share with you about what I believe is very important for us today in the ministry. And that is strong leadership. Strong leadership. I believe that many years ago, I heard Yonggi Cho talking about church growth. And he was saying that the characteristic of every large church that he knows about is that it is led by a strong leader. So, one of the things that is important is to be strong in your leadership. Okay? Strong in your leadership. Now, one of the reasons is that people are the most difficult creatures to control. Did you know that? Human beings are very difficult to control and to lead. So one of the things you need, if you're going to be successful with human beings, is strength in leadership. Exodus 13, verse 9. of verse 8. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. It shall be for a sign and upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. Okay? Now underline the next part. For with a strong hand has the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. With a strong hand. So a strong hand is needed to accomplish a great deliverance. Okay? So I'm speaking to all of us here, and I'm telling you that to lead people, even in a church, and accomplish a great deliverance, you need a strong hand. Because the Bible says, with a strong hand has the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Now, pastors are traditionally seen as people who are friendly, gentle, smiley, caring, loving, patient, kind, soft-hearted, tender. What other word? Sweet, forgiving, understanding, patient, humble. All those words don't seem to be in the same category as strong. It seems to be something almost contrary to being strong. All right? So, I need you to know that being strong and leading people with a strong hand is necessary. How many churches I have been to, and I can see that the pastor is not leading the people with a strong hand. If you ask me, what is the commonest thing I have seen traveling around many churches and seeing many pastors and many difficulties, is this one thing, that the pastor is not leading the people with a strong hand. If you were to ask me just one thing. Yeah. He's not strong when he has to be strong. Do you see? He's not strong when he has to be strong. Because without a strong hand and strength of leadership, you cannot do certain things. Yes, you cannot. You do some things, but not some things you can't do. So, I'm talking about leadership style. You know? And in Africa, our leadership has a lot of friendship in it. And, it's my brother. Oh, my uncle is the one in charge here. Let me call him for you. And so on and so forth. But in places where there are people are working with strong leadership principles, they will arrest their own brother. They say, it's my brother, I don't care, arrest him. You shouldn't do that. True or not true? Yeah. So brothers and sisters, strength is needed. So pastors, God wants to strengthen your hand. All right? God wants you to be strong. Otherwise, you can't have a big church. And our aim is mega church. Mega church, church growth. If your church is small, make plans for a bigger one. Because Isaiah 2, this is our vision, the mega church. Mega church. And church planting. Beautiful. and Church Growth. These are the books in the Makarios Library. Church Growth, How to Make Your Church Grow. And Church Planting. Planting more churches. I was telling you, just by planting churches, our attendance is more. More. But you see, you need strength to tell myself to move from Ekodesh, which is one of the biggest church buildings and nicest in the city and the country, to move out into a canteen in a school for me. And to tell my two pastors that have been with me from the beginning, all these years, to say to one, look, go to this branch. They don't even have instruments. And be there and make a great church out of it. And to tell Bishop Saki, go to this field. Find the land. Have you found the land? He's not found the land. Find the land. If you are not strong, you cannot do that. No. You will be there forever. If you are not strong, you can't do that. And now go and see. Both of them, they are roofing the huge structures there. It's becoming something wonderful. Yes. We are so excited now. Yes. They are just lifting the trusses up onto the structures. Building. Beautiful. Yeah. But with the Lord brought Israel out with a strong hand. You get it? Yeah. When my son came back from school and he wanted to be a pastor, I told him, go to this site and start a church there. I showed him. Go and start. With who? I said, with the air. Start with the air. And they started the church on the building site. There was no building. We had not started building. It was just a red sand. And he called the church, Church in the Sun. That is, in the sunshine. So he saw me and he said, Daddy, we were 5 today. I said, very good. The last time he told me, they had 500 people sitting in church. And their service. Yeah. So, why not? Why not? With a strong hand. Put that verse there. Has the Lord brought thee out, you know, with a strong hand. That's what most pastors have, that problem. It's just not, they don't want to be strong. In what they are doing. They don't want to be strong. You have to be strong and hard. Hard. Eesh. Joshua chapter 1. Or even before Joshua 1, let's go to Deuteronomy 31, because Moses is going to give advice before he dies. Deuteronomy 31 verse 7. Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong. Do you think he was telling him to do bodybuilding? What do you think it means? Be strong. What do you think it means? Be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with these people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Yes. Without a certain strength and clarity
You can never lead people to where you are supposed to lead them to. Never. If you are not strong, you cannot. You cannot. Amen.
Amen.
Then Joshua 1. Now, after the death of Moses, isn't it? It came to pass, the Lord spoke. Now, the Lord is speaking to Joshua. And he said, my servant Moses is dead. Okay, go over this Jordan. Every place that the Lord is leading you, I lead you, is for you. Verse 5. Nobody can stand in front of you, I'm telling you. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. Be strong. Be strong. So Moses, this was the same advice Moses gave to Joshua. Now, God is speaking to Joshua directly. And he's telling him, what he's telling him is very important. Be strong and of a good courage. You are going to divide an inheritance. All pastors here must realize that you are living to die. So you are trying to do something before you die. You have to share things before you die. And you have to be very strong. Otherwise, you won't share the things and you will leave confusion. But look at verse 7. It's amazing. Verse 7. Only is the main thing. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Only. That's what I'm saying, that in my going round to and fro, it's what I've noticed. People are not strong to say, you here. I said, you here. You see, when I told the people when they were leaving, I said, don't even think of leaving. Don't even think of leaving. Yes. If you are not strong, you will be standing here, everybody's walking out. As you are standing on stage, say, okay, we are going to do this. Okay, now, everybody, this is now the next thing. All right. This and that and that. No. And people are walking out, walking out, walking out, walking out, walking out, walking out. All over South Africa, when we came at different towns, I'm telling you our experiences. One of the voices that we heard many times, you can't come from your country and tell us what to do. You can't come and tell us what to do. You can't come and tell us what to do. And one of the things we noticed that pastors cannot make their members do things in South Africa. They can't say, all of you come, all of you go. This is what we are doing today. They don't do it. Can't do it. Can't do, won't do. Shan't do. They lack the strength. May I can make my whole church come here this afternoon. My whole church can come here this afternoon. Nobody will say, you can't come. Why? When I say you should come, how can you not come? Are you a member? You are a member? Then what are you? Where are you going? Yeah. Only be thou strong. John Wesley was a very strong man. Hey. Very strong. But you see, he said that they knew that all that he was doing was for the good of the people and for the good of the movement and of the people. So they bowed to him. But they said, oh, he's autocratic. He's and he had no apologies. I have no apologies. Go away. You don't like it. Go. He said, I believe in defending the church. He said, to build the church and not to defend is like making a farm and leaving it exposed to wild animals. You defend it against all attackers. You write a book, those who leave you, those who forget, those. It takes strength. Because this was not that the title were nicer, but I want it to be clear. This is for those who forget. Are you with me? Yes. If you are a shepherd and you can't make the sheep move here, then are you really a shepherd? No, think about it. Let's say you've got sheep. All the sheep are on the left side of the field and you want them to be on the right side. And you can't make it. And you are looking at the... Ooh, ooh, ooh. Can't you see you have finished eating this side? We want you to go to this side. You won't go here. Okay, I'm going to stand over here so that you yourself should understand that I need you to come here. You need a rod, thy rod and thy staff. You use it to beat the sheep. You clear from here now. Thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. When you get some two lashes, you are comforted. Yeah. Shepherd is calling you, go. Only be thou strong. If you ask me what I saw in going around South Africa, that's the one thing I saw. You can't make the people do things. Yes, if you ask me, what did I see across? And the people are not used to being told, sit down, do this. Because of maybe the anti-apartheid. So we don't want somebody to tell us anything again. Yes. I was surprised, you know, one time I went, I don't know which town it was, I was preaching about these people charging to play the piano, play the drums, play this, you charge it. And some people were offended. Some people were offended. I mean, you say, I say you are offended, go. Fast. Out of the church. We don't need your type in the church. No apologies. I know Abraham. He will command his household. He will command his household after me, after him. I know Abraham. I know him. Look at it. He will command his children and his household after him. Look, human beings, if you leave them, even in the church, they will steal everything. They will spoil everything. They will do anything they want. They will come when they want, go when they want. They can't come for anything. How can you have a church that can only come to church on Sundays? What type of shepherd are you? You can't make them come on Tuesday. You can't make them come on Wednesday. At least a large percentage of them. You can't make them attend a program. You can't tell them, I need you here. Nobody is absent. With strength. You only speak indirectly. What type of leadership? You only speak indirectly. That you say, you know, it will be a good thing if you are around because there are good things that the Lord is doing all the time and wonderful things are happening in the Holy Spirit. Ah! Wonderful. wonderful things are happening in the Holy Spirit. What does that have to do with the fact that you are going to be here? I say Tuesday you are here. Not even one person should be absent. When I have a Good Friday service, I say, everybody, Independence Square, 3 p.m., we start. The whole place is in the hottest sunshine. Hot! And we wear black. I told her, we wear black on Good Friday. Jesus died Good Friday. We are wearing black! Under the sun. Hey! You should see us. The whole place is jammed. We are mourning our Savior died on Good Friday. We are all wearing black. We are there. We are all there, happily sitting down. Millionaires and all. I have members in my church, they've called me to dedicate aeroplanes. Some of you have been dedicating cars. I've dedicated aeroplanes. They're all sitting there. Many of the sheep are just waiting for a strong voice which says, sit down. He maketh me lie down. He makes lie down. I say, lie down here. He didn't suggest I should lie down. He made me lie down. He made, hey, lie down. Strong leadership, strength when dealing with the people is without it, your ministry ends at a point. Most of my bishops, you know, I have about 33 bishops, something like that. A bishop in our system must have a cathedral and a center with offices and everything, otherwise you cannot be a bishop. Yes, you must. You know, you must have. I've even forgotten what I was going to tell you. What was I going to tell you? Yeah. Yeah, I'll remember. I always remember. I'm testing you to see whether you are, your mind, you are following the preaching. Yeah. You must comply with certain things. And you must be able to make the people do things. Now, exactly, I told you, I remember. You are the ones who have to remember things. Almost every bishop has been moved. You go here, come here, go here, come here. With strength. That's what even makes them so qualified to be bishops. Go here, come here. Unbelievable movements. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Go here. What? Yes, go here. Without strength, that's why there are no missions. That's why there are no missions. How can you send somebody to Mali? Send somebody to Ethiopia? Yeah, Bishop Griffith was here. I said, go to Ethiopia. I said, to Ethiopia. From South Africa. He has been there all his life. I said, Ethiopia is for you. Go. Simple and short. You have a house. I said, I don't know about house. That is not what we are not here for houses. We are here to work for God. Go. That's why we don't have much. No, that's why there are no missions. It takes strength to tell somebody, uproot somebody, and move the person. And for the person to still trust that what is happening is good, it takes strength. That's why there's nothing. No, that's why. Look, South Africa is, you saw that, Adventures in South Africa. I have another one called Beautiful South Africa. I'm here to show you. This, you see, South Africa is a very great country. Beautiful, developed. It's like Europe in certain regards, many, many regards. It's supposed to be the strongest nation in Africa. It is probably. You make nuclear, you make missiles, you make tanks, helicopters, cars. I mean, it's a very, very, very advanced country. But you cannot go to Namibia and see a South African has come to Namibia to start a church. You will not see that. It's true. You will not see in Zimbabwe, just across, you will not see a South African. Oh, this big church is from this South African man of God. You not go to Swaziland. You are from Swaziland. You not have that. There's no South African mission. Lesotho. You are from Lesotho. You're from Lesotho. Truly, is the South African man of God has sent a mission to Lesotho. There are other Zimbabweans who are there, who may have come there for economic reasons. Yes. Yes. Do you want us to tell the truth or we shouldn't tell the truth? You go to Congo, you will not see South Africa. Maybe there is some. I'm sure there is some, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure. Or in Nigeria or in Ghana. So this church here, you see this building? It's a South African. Because this is the greatest nation in Africa. So it correspondingly would have gone with a great church, which is reaching out and influencing the world. But it's not like that. You can't come and tell us what. You can't say. What do you mean? You can't tell us. You can't send us here. You can't tell us. You can't even tell us to come on Tuesday. You can't even tell us to come on Wednesday. Why should you tell us? Why should we take a day off? If I go to America on Monday morning, my American church members will all gather in the winter. They would all leave their work, thousands of them, and gather to come and listen. Monday morning, Tuesday, as if they don't work. London, Germany, Munich, Switzerland, Geneva, everywhere. That's how they are. That's how I train them. I say, I'm coming. Your father is coming. You will not come. Your father is coming. You will not come. Why will you not come? You must come. My problem is I'm rather driving them away that no, don't let these people come. Yes. Go here. This is what we need. That strength is absent. We tried studying choirs. It was certain people who had the strength to be able to say, all choristers in the church, you are joining this. Come, you are all part of this. All of you, come. All, come. No. I said all. All means all. Sit. Make me stand. Sit. Look, one day, a man came to the church. He said, is it kindergarten? So he said, lift your hand up. Sit down. Stand up. Sit down. Is it kindergarten? Hey! You see, I'm trying to show you what creates, Bible says, with a strong hand, the Lord brought Israel out. Leadership with strength. There are certain kinds of leadership, if it is practiced, certain crimes will go out. One day I went to a certain country. And I asked, are there armed robbers here? They said, no. You can leave your door open. I said, why? He said, we had a president. And he wiped out those people. Yes. I don't want to tell you the name of the country, but it's from A to Z, one of the letters. We said, you can leave the door open. We had the president, and he started to clear them. He said, they are out. Yes. And he wiped it out. Because when I got to that car, I asked, do you have? I go, you need to know the security. He said, there's nothing like that here. You can leave your window open. You can leave your door open. Really? He said, yes. He said, this country, everybody used to have a very high wall. Now we don't need it. It's out. I went to a country. I saw they have written on the police, Operation Fire for Fire. Fire for fire. I was talking to one brother who was in one of these Arab countries. He knows people from Bahrain and Kuwait, those, some of those places. He said, there is no crime. No. You can leave your thing. Nobody will take it. I said, why? You take it. Cut. It's finished. There's nothing. They said, there is no, he said, he wonders when he looks at the crimes and the things that people are committing. Members behave anyhow, talk anyhow. One day I employed somebody. And she spoke so much about her immediate boss she was working under. She's like this, she's like this, she's like that, she's like that. When the thing came to me, she had been working there for some years. I said, go. Go and find another job somewhere. We don't talk like that here. You can't talk about her in this way. She's like this, she's like this. No, go. Bye-bye. She was shocked. She came to beg. I said, go. 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 Please, it's all my life. It's your life. But don't, you can't talk like that. Go. You can't sit amongst us and be criticized us. Why should you call me on Monday? Even when you call me on Monday, I cannot do this. And I do this and my family this and this and that. We are sorry. Go. That's all. So you see, we are not strong. That's why orangus run wild in your church. Orangus. They run amok. They are free. They can sit at the back and talk. Let us just find only one person making a comment. We will locate you. We will locate you. People are not strong leaders. I was in the Philippines. And they told, do you have accidents? You know, countries have accidents. Like South Africa has one of the highest accidents. Do you know what the president did? He said, from now, when he was the mayor of his area, from now, speed limit, 40. Speed limit what? 40. Finish. Where I am the mayor, no, 40. You drive about. That was the end of accident. No more accident in the country. Strong. Then, they had these drugs. Drug dealers and crime was so much in Manila. So when he became the president, he was trying to see how to solve it. He said, he came with a new announcement. He said, anybody who is 18 years old and below, from 10 o'clock in the evening, you must be in the house. If you are found below 18 and below, outside, you'll be arrested. And I don't know what the punishment is. Then after that, you'll be released. If you are arrested a second time below the age of 18, you are arrested the second time, you and your parents will be arrested. Your parents will be arrested with you. That's the end of crime, end of drugs, end of gangs in Manila. That's it. Wipe it out in one stroke. Yes, it's finished. You and your parents are all going to prison. Why should you let your child go out at 10 o'clock? He's supposed to be in the house. Strong. Turn to Haggai. If you were to ask me which one thing is missing in most churches, is strong leadership. Amen. Are you still around or you are leaving? Are you sure you are still around? Haggai chapter 2. In the seventh month came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and to Joshua, the priest. Verse 3. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes, in comparison of it, as nothing? Verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. So God is speaking to the secular leaders, he's speaking to the spiritual leaders, he's speaking to every community leader and saying, be strong about what you are doing, because what you are doing is the right thing. Don't be half-hearted about it. Unless they are absolute, they won't work. It must be absolute. The church is not a democracy. The church is not a... Democracy is one of the weak tiles of leading. Do you know that if I stood for elections right now, I said that who should preach this afternoon? We would have so many different opinions, whether I should preach, whether Bishop Moses should preach, whether Reverend Steve, Bishop Saki, Dr. Go, my wife, people would be suggesting different. This faction says which women should have an opportunity because no woman has spoken at Give Thyself Holy Conference. Some will be saying this should happen. Some will, different opinions. You'll be surprised I'll be sitting down because I've subjected it to your voting. Once you allow people to have opinions, and so we are not running a democracy. It is a type of strong leadership where you pray and you are sure, you are wise, and then you take decisions. Okay? Are you ready to be pastors, shepherds, or you want to be wimps? Check what is the meaning of a wimp. Write it down. W-I-M-P. What is a wimp? I need somebody to check the meaning of wimp. A wimp. Is somebody helping me? A weak
and cowardly or unadventurous person.
Weak, ineffectual, timid person. W-I-M-P, not wimpies, wimp. Wimp. A wimp is a weak, timid, ineffectual person. Yours is a chicken. Failing to complete something. Lack of, as a result of fear. Or lack of confidence. A person without confidence, timid. So the opposite of being a strong leader is being a wimp. Amen. Ask your neighbor, are you a wimp or a shepherd? Hallelujah.
Amen.
When Ida started singing, you know, one time she was singing a song, quiet time, quiet time. I don't even know how to sing. Quiet time, quiet. My wife asked me, do you think people like this song? Where's your microphone? Come and sing it. It's a song. Quiet time, quiet time. I said to her, whether people like it or not, she will sing it. Sing it.
It's those quiet times, quiet times. They are so precious to me, to me.
And she asked me, do you think people like this one?
That's when you tell me those secret things and all that you want me to be. It's those quiet times.
This is what I like.
Quiet times.
Look, if you are a shepherd, don't allow music that you don't like in your church. Don't allow it. Allow it. Yes. One day I appointed a worship leader. I said, you'll be a worship leader. Then I gave them some songs. I said, these are good songs. So one day he came to me and he said, it seems people don't really know the songs, these songs. Hey, he had pressed the wrong button. I told him, you too, I don't know your songs. I also don't know the songs you are singing, and I also don't like them. You say they don't know my songs. You don't know the song. They will know the song if you teach the song. Foolish. Take them the song. I also don't know your songs. And I also don't like your songs. What do you mean? This is the song I want. One day I gave some people a song to sing. I said, sing this song. After they finished singing, leading the worship, I called them. I said, you are all sacked. Meanwhile, they sang the songs I gave them. And I said, yes, you sang the songs I gave, but you didn't sing from your heart. So the song wasn't nice when you sang it. If you had sang it from your heart, it would have been nice. Yes. Therefore, you are sacked. You are out. I will get somebody who likes my songs. The person who sings, you see that the song is nice. We are allowing wild animals to run through the church instead of controlling. Get your gun and start shooting these animals out of the church. One day I met a certain sister. She's a very strong sister. She's married to a brother. And she said, "My husband allows me to do everything. I go here, I come here, I go here, I do anything. He doesn't say anything." So he said, "I'll come at 2 a.m. He said, "Okay, see you at 2 a.m. I'll come at 5 a.m. "Okay, I'll come in the morning. I'll come tomorrow. Anything." So then one day she said, "I wish he would be strong and say, 'You'll be home by 7 or else.'" She said, "I want to feel there is a power over my head." It's true. You'll be surprised. They love it. They love it. Those of you weak husbands, wimpy husbands, wimps, allow your wife to do anything. She doesn't like that thing at all, that you allow her everything. She wants you to be strong so that she knows that she's married a strong man. Say, "Hey, my husband is like a tree. Certainly that's a rock. You can't just do anything around him." No. Ask the ladies, is it not true? Ask the nearest sister, is it true or is it not true? Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." You know, God is telling us as leaders, let us come up with more strength with our house and our church and our leadership. You see, the strength, when you are kind and you exercise strength, they just flow because they know that you are very kind. It's not malicious. It's not wickedness. It's strength of leadership. They know that you are kind. You are a good person. Yeah. Now, 9 areas that you must develop, or just I'll give you some areas you must develop that will make you strong. Number 1, depth. Deep. You must have a deep Christian life. Deep calleth unto deep. Psalm 42, verse 7. When you are not deep, you are not strong. You are not a strong tree. The next wind will blow you down. So Peter wasn't as strong as he thought. The next wind brought him down. So be strong. Amen? Amen. And God's going to bless you. So we need to be deeper. More spiritual. Amen. So, when I'm teaching you about strong leadership, I have so much to say, more than what I'm saying. Because I have a book on the art of leadership right here. It's part of the Macarius.
If I start this book, which I'm going to in a moment, if I start going through, we can't finish. So I'm saying just more of what I am doing. If I pray with you, okay, let's pray. Oh, the Shabbat, I've prayed 8 hours before. I'm praying these 2 minutes with you. That 2 minutes is just, okay, Father, thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. It's 8 hours behind me. A good general. Strength. So what I'm saying now is, I'm talking about being a strong leader. So it's like there is more than what I'm saying. It's just a little drop of what really is in me to share. So when you are not deep, it's quite easy to see at a point that this one is not deep. It's just, so you take a message and you just preach the top of the message. And people who read books are deeper. Yes. What it means to be as wise as a serpent is also about leadership. What it means to be wise as a serpent. Very, very important. Because Jesus told us to be as wise as serpents. And serpents are the most successful predators and wild animals on earth. They are found everywhere. You can't wipe them out. They are very successful. Lions are reducing all the time, but not snakes. Their wisdom is great. Number two, you must be unmovable. Yes. 1 Corinthians 15:58. You must be steady and unmovable. You see, your strength is partly in your unmovability. You can't move me from my course. Before I started healing Jesus Christ, I remember a particular decision I took. I said, I will do the crusade whether people come or they don't come. Because no one knew me as an evangelist, and I didn't know whether people would come. But I decided that no matter what, I will never stop. Yes. No matter, I will never stop. When I start this crusade, that's it. Yes. I'll never stop it. I'll do it and do it and do it and do it to the end. You see, so when you are coming out to give a decision, or you take a decision, right, and you haven't thought it through, you haven't gotten to the place of being unmovable, steady and unmovable, you are not strong. When you have a meeting, people will bring ideas and they will come up with things. So you change your mind just now. Somebody will punch a hole in it and say a word. Suddenly you are moving. Yes. Your wife can make one comment and you move from your plan. Yes. Just one word. Just a, are you sure that? That's it. That's it. Are you sure? You see that your mind is changing. And it throws a big question. When I was committed to Archbishop Duncan Williams, I told my wife, I told Bishop Saki, they didn't know him much. I said, that was my pastor, and I honor. Whatever. Eh? Follow. What? Follow. That's all. Don't say any bad word. Nobody. There's nobody in my life who can say anything bad about Archbishop Dagawas. Not even a whisper. Now, I don't want it. Aish. You know, it'll be good. Yes. You must be, and no matter what, you must be unmovable. Whatever he's doing, it's not my concern to correct fathers. That's not my job. You have been told honor your father and then the rest. Correct your father. Or honor your father.
or honor and correct. So when you have to become unmovable before you make things public, even to your own wife. And your wife is a big, like if the congregation or people's powers are maybe, let's say, 30% power, 60% will go to your wife's comment. It's more power, like 60 units more. Wife is very powerful. Wife is very powerful. All wives are powerful. You must know how to be strong and unmovable. Steady. Before you come out with your decisions, pray. You see, because if you are not deep, you are not spiritual, you are not going into things. You say something, but you haven't thought it through. It's not well thought through and not deep in your heart. It's not something you have prayed about, weighed. So when you speak, then something comes up, it's canceled. That doesn't make you strong at all. And everybody knows when you say this, you change to this. When you say this, you change to this. When you say this, you change to this. So I'm telling you how to be a strong leader. Decide before, I'm not moving from this position because it's biblical. Yes. And when you are strong like that, you see, you can do it. Amen?
Amen.
How many are going to be strong leaders? How many are going to be wimps? Have you learned a new word?
Yes.
Yes. Number 3 or 4? Anyone choose?
3.
Okay. To be strong, you must be spiritual. Yeah. Why? Because the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 3:1, you must be spiritual. When you are spiritual, you are strong. Yes. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as even as unto babes. Have you seen a baby in a boxing ring before? Heavyweight boxing? So a baby is weak. And so carnality and unspirituality makes you weak, and spirituality makes you strong.
Amen.
Do you know that we all feel handsome at each time of stage of our lives? And we all feel good at each stage of our lives. But it's only when you look at an old picture that you say, "Ah, I wasn't looking nice at all." Now, when I look at my picture, when my wife agreed to marry me, I bless God for her life. Because, I tell you, I look like a Palestinian terrorist. So I ask myself that what made her follow me? Spirituality. Spirituality makes you strong. Spirituality makes you strong. Stronger than your age, stronger than your money, stronger than any aspect of you, spirituality. The first time I came to South Africa, I was met by some young men. One greeted me, they greeted me and said, "Where is the bishop?" I said, "I'm the bishop." "The bishop." "So where is he?" "He said, I'm the one." "So we were expecting an older person." He said, "We've been listening to your messages on tape, so we thought you were much older." You see, spirituality makes you like an old man. So when you are not spiritual, you are not strong, and your leadership is not strong. You are not prayerful. You are not prayerful. Look, if you like, try praying for 3 hours. Try. Pray for 4 hours.
Try it and see. You see. Everything about you will change. When you speak, you see that it has more power, more weight. Try pray for hours. Try waiting on God, just only you and God. Try it. You see that you are of a different order. Yes. The first time I prayed for 7 hours, I was in secondary school. Yes, secondary school. 10 to 5, 7 hours. 10 to 5 has been one of my commonest time frames for prayer. When I used to pray more in the day, I pray more in the night now, but when I used to pray in the day, it was 10 to 5, 10 to 5, 10 to 5, 10 to 5. Like that. 10 to 5, 10 to 5, 10 to 5. I will go to the gardens and pray there. 10 in the morning. 5, I take a taxi, I drink water. There's a tap, I drink water, and I find a taxi, and I go home. Always. Fasting, praying. Yes. You'll be strong. People will follow you. They don't know why they are following you. You'll be very lean like a skeleton, but they are following you. You are not spiritual. That's why you are not strong. Because you are not even sure of what you are saying. You haven't prayed much. You haven't spent time with God. You see, that's why Gabriel was quite offended when Zacharias was asking, or even Zacharias was challenging him when he came to announce, you know, the virgin birth and to Zacharias about John the Baptist. He said, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. You know where I'm from. I am from the presence of God. I'm not just I came from my room. I came from the presence of God. Better listen to what I'm saying. I came from his presence. We are not from his presence. We are from watching TV. Do you have this South American TV? Is this South American, the one with the, they change the language? What is it called? Spanish, yeah. Telemundo. You have some here? Yeah, they speak tree in Ghana. You see the Spanish people speaking tree. Hey, people are watching it every day. As if it's they are praying. Look at it. He said, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. That's authority. If somebody comes and says, I work with Bishop Doug Heward Mills in his room, in his office, and I say that he says this, it's because of the closeness that the authority is carrying that over. I say, I work with him every day, and this is what he says. Yes. So Gabriel was saying, I came from the presence of God, and this is what God says. This is what's happening. You are from the presence of where? You're from the presence of where, please? Radio, TV, videos, film, Rambo. Tell somebody, I'm getting stronger as a leader. Is it amazing? Is it fantastic? Now, to be strong, the next one is you must be holy. Yes, holiness makes you strong. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see God. You see, when you are sleeping with the girls, there are some things you can't say. And when you speak softly. All Christians should follow Christianity.
All Christians should do what? Follow Christianity. You can't say strong. You can't say much. Because of your life. Your life is not clear. Your life is not straight. Yes. You are sleeping with somebody that you shouldn't sleep with. Check your neighbor's temperature to see whether it's affecting him. Speak, you can't be strong because you know yourself. Because the girl who is sleeping with that guy has also been sleeping with you. You are three. You are three in the triangle. Makes you strong. Yeah. Holiness makes you strong. You can never be strong without holiness. Without which no man can see God. You can only preach about faith, prosperity, powerful things and all that, but you cannot say certain things. And you cannot take a stand on certain things. And you cannot rebuke certain things. You cannot correct certain things. And you cannot charge certain things. And you cannot fight certain things. Your strength is gone. So you must know how to keep yourself. Even if that was your lifestyle, you must know how to keep. So I said, I can't stop because, you know, that was my life before I became a pastor. But I tell you, I knew a pastor. I still know him. His work was pornography. I don't mean watching. He's one of the actors. He was one of the actors. Yes. He was one of the actors in the films. And he became a pastor. And for the first few years of his life, his ministry, he said he understood that to love somebody is to have sex with the person, because that is all that he has known his life. Even his work involves sex. So I love you, I sleep with you. So after he was born again, he was loving. He was loving everyone. This is his own story. And one day, whilst in bed with one of the girls that he was showing love to, a big black man, spiritual, huge, came to stand at the foot of his bed. And he was terrified. And he felt there was something wrong. So he went to check the Bible. And he was amazed to find out that there's something wrong with what he was doing. Then he changed. But he became straight. Had a wonderful church. Yes. And conducted his life a certain way. For years. Till he finished his ministry. So you say, oh, Bishop, I'm used to so many things. No, it's possible. Believe God. Use spiritual power, prayers, faith, marriage, everything to keep you. Holiness. Holiness. Hey. You have to fight. Yes. Some of you are more than a mattress. I'm not saying this area, but I don't know which area. You are healed of it today in Jesus' name. Amen. How many are getting stronger? Yeah, you need to be strong. Number five, you need to be mature. Maturity. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children. So maturity must come in. And maturity always speaks of balance. You don't only know this, you know that. Yes. You know the other side. That's why when Jesus caught the woman in adultery, he spoke of the other side. He said, you who have not done before, take your first stone and throw. And he knew there was no one there like that. Virgins got finished not only in our day. In those days, virgins were finished. Amen. Number six. Is to be fruitful. Now, why does fruitfulness make you strong? Because the Bible says, blessed is a man who has many children. They are a quiver. They are quivers in his there are arrows in his quiver. Not quivers in arrow. Arrows in his quiver, yeah. Blessed is the man. Your children make you strong. Your spiritual children make you strong. So my spiritual children make me a strong person. My bishops make me strong. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So, a man with a lot of children is like a mighty man with arrows in his hand. So are the children of the youth. Happy is the man who has full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They'll speak with the enemies in the gate. So, all pastors, you see, your strength comes. You are not a strong pastor if you can't leave your church on Sunday. Where's your assistant? And where are your many assistants? Your church cannot depend on you only. Your church must depend on you and others. And I'll tell you, it's not only biological children. You know, my biological children, I have one of them who is with me in the ministry. But for years, I've never had any of them. It's only spiritual. They're like biological, they're spiritual. And I think maybe God kept the biological ones away so that the spiritual ones will develop. I have more children. More. In different places. They are watching me live as I'm speaking. I know them. I finish preaching. Somebody send me text. This and that and that. They are watching. I'll never tell them, I'm going here. There. More. Where are yours? Huh? Quiver is empty. Arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So now start training them. Start training them. Send them to Bible school. I always encourage people, send people to Bible school, even in Ghana, if you know. Come, let them come. We train them. We teach them how to eat snakes, dogs, everything. They will be hard. No, I'm just joking about the snakes and the dogs. But we do have some of our Bible students, when they catch a snake, they just eat it. Sharp. Yeah. Sharp. They don't delay at all. They just roast it. If you are a snake in the school, you are dead. I tell you. When they catch you, you'll be eaten. They just skin it. White meat. I saw them eating a viper the other day. Gaboon viper. For real. I show you pictures. They cut it. White meat like chicken. No, the poison is in the glands. Listen. Your children make you strong. So that's why I'm always taking pains to train people and try to bring people. I don't have a crusade without people who are not crusaders, but they are just with me. Pastors, come, be with me. Let's go. You must always be with me, whatever I'm doing in my environment. Come with me. Go here. We come. We go. I'll talk to you occasionally. I'm trying to make people great. What did Jesus say? He went with them everywhere. Company. When they were going to choose an apostle, let's choose someone who has companied with us. Company. 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 So we need loyal. But you see, one of the reasons is loyalty. People don't understand loyalty. So that's why people don't like to get outside the biological framework, because people are not loyal. That's why the loyalty also has to be trained, because you must overcome. How many biological children can you give birth to work with you? How many biological children can you give birth to? You have to have other sons. Others. It makes you strong. Fruitfulness makes you strong. I have a son in Fiji. No, I don't even call people sons easily. Those things, because most of the time it's trying to say you are great or people are under you. I don't use that term much. But I have people. They are my family in islands. Yeah. Where are yours? You are going to have some in Jesus' name. That's the strength. That's the strength. If I was you as a pastor, I would say to myself, I am going to embark on the greatest campaign to raise up at least 12 people that are just like me, like you, with your mind. Greatest campaign. And even 12, when you aim for 12, you will get less. So aim for 20, 30. Try hard. They need, you see, you can't see how you behave till you are in certain circumstances. That's why some of them, you have to send them out. I have people I've sent far away, but one day I'll bring them. I say, come. What they have seen there is qualifying them to be here. The fact that they didn't scream or squeal when they were sent is what qualifies them to be with you. You need, and those of you here, try to be sons. Great sons. And you must be known. You see, everybody knows the people that are my people. You know them, you see them, you recognize, you even know their names. You see them. Many times when I come, Dr. Go is preaching, I don't like to interrupt. I was here long before he finished preaching. I was at the back. I was just watching. Because the people are being blessed. So sometimes I feel that I'm even coming to disturb the program. The people are being blessed.
You see, John Wesley, I told you, I was reading a book, it says, John Wesley and the men who followed him, who followed after. And most of them were unexpected guys. They took it. He never ordained any pastor. He appointed Francis Asbury. I'm sure you must have heard the name Asbury. Asbury. That is the American. He sent him to America as a missionary. And when he went there, they interordained themselves as pastors and bishops. And he wrote to him and said, you are calling yourself a bishop. Me, I would never allow myself to be called a bishop. People insult me. They call me this. They call me this. I'll never even... You have made yourself a bishop. He was fighting with them, you know. But they were his people. And that guy, Asbury, he took the Methodist to the whole of America. That's why when you go to America, you see so many Asbury something. He's a Methodist guy. Sons make you strong. The only thing that happened to John Wesley in America is that he went there as a missionary and failed. Tried to get a beloved, it didn't work, and he ran away. Because he got into some troubles there and he had to run back to England. But he sent somebody there, his sons, and they went to conquer the place. So, your sons make you a wild man. Yes. You know, my bishops, they can really preach. They can talk, they can meet, they can do things. I know them. I know them. They are strong. They have money. The other day I went to one see some building, they finished building. I said, hey, I dedicated it on Sunday. Strong. Your sons make you strong, and the absence of sons makes you a weak man. It makes you a wimp. What is a son? One day I was in the church and a lady came up to me and said, she said, daddy, I said, don't call me daddy. I said, don't call me daddy. I said, when did I become your father? Say, you are my father. I said, I am not your father. Then she said, you are my father. I said, then my children, that time my children were small like this. They came running across. I said, those are my children. They look like me and they behave like me. You don't look like me spiritually and you don't behave like me spiritually. You don't have a fellowship. You don't do anything. You don't preach. There is nothing about you that looks like me. Why do you say I'm your father? If you have a son, he will look like you in the spirit. He will look like you. He will do the things you are doing. And even you feel at rest when he's there. You know, my church where I am with the First Love people, oh, I feel free to leave them. Because, you know, the last time I left, I came to Zimbabwe. The last time the attendance was about 2,000. When I went back, the attendance was 3,000. Yes, I left them for 1 month. And when I came back, it was 3,000. I mean, people there, sitting there. Yeah. So, they should work. They are the workers. My children are working. Your children make you strong. Where are the children of the pastors in South Africa? Most churches in South Africa, it's a one-man show, me and my wife. Me and my wife. One of the most difficult pastoral teams you can have, me and my wife. Sometimes it works, but many of them, they are quarreling. You see them, they come for the show. It's called outward happiness, inside sadness. You don't like my message, you see. Shall I continue talking? Yeah. Let's have more sons. Arrows. I'm about to consecrate probably one. I'm so happy to have sons who are not Ghanaian. It makes me happy. It makes me very happy. Because it shows that my ministry is more international. I have bishops who are not from Ghana. Oh, I'm so... I have to have a party. He says, your sun shall come from afar. Arise and shine, your light has come. Your sons will come from far. Your sons will come from far. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Are you excited?
Yes.
So, children make you strong. That's not biological children. Biological children give you expenses. Most of the time, spiritual children make you strong. Biological children, if they don't become spiritual children, most of the time, expenses. Hey. Are you around or you are leaving? Are you sure you are still there? Tell somebody, I'm moving away from being a wimp. I'm moving away from being a wimp. Tell somebody, I don't like that picture. That word, I don't never use that word on me. Tell them, never use that word on me. Now, why must you strengthen yourself? Number one, so that you, I've given you what you must do to be strong. All these things. Number one is what? Number one is what? Be deep, depth. Number two, unmovable, be unmovable. Number three, spiritual. Number four, holiness. Number five, mature. Number six, fruitful, with children, isn't it? Okay, now, why you must make yourself a strong leader? Number one, strength in 1 John 2, verse 14. 1 John 2, 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you. Amen? And you have overcome the wicked one. Hey! Now, you need strength to overcome wicked ones. Those who pretend are very wicked people. Those who leave you. Very wicked. You it's because you are not mature that you don't know that they are wicked. Those who forget, they are wicked. They are some of the people that can stimulate you to speak for 1 hour without interruption. Those who forget things. You must read it and learn it and be deep about it. These are all in the Macarius. Make sure you get one. Those who are ignorant, they are a deadly group. Because they don't know much and don't understand much and criticize easily. Empty barrels make the most criticism. Dangerous sons. They are your products, okay, but they are dangerous. Those who accuse you, hey, they weaken you most when they suggest negative things about you. Are you not just doing it because of money? Is it not because of da-da-da? Are you not da-da-da-da? Are you not di-do-da? Disloyal people. So he says, I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and you have overcome the wicked one. So strength makes you overcome wickedness in your congregation. Through the strength of the instruction that I give, wickedness cannot prevail in a meeting like this. You cannot just disrespect. If the president was here or somebody was here, you cannot just do whatever. Strength makes you overcome wickedness. And there's a lot of wickedness in the church. People scattering the church. Pastor, you know, if you know pastors, you like them. You know, I have all these wonderful board members, my friends. Pastors are very good people. If I start from all these people, Bishop Oliver, Bishop Pastor Zach, Bishop Collins, Moses Sono, Pastor Steve, they like God. They love people. They are always caring for people. Bishop Steve is always looking after people. Bishop, the one from America, in California. The one in America with the actors, the film stars. Bishop Blake. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he came to Ghana with his people. He immediately said, well, where are my people? Where are they? He came through the VIP. He said, no. Where? I need my... Where? Are they okay? Are they okay? Are your bags? What's okay? That's a pastor. He loves people, cares for the people. It's so much in them. Yet, there are wicked people who will turn the person into a monster. When you hear just the comments that are made about this person, you can't even believe it. So strength is needed to wipe out wicked people. Strength. Strength. Strength is needed to wipe out. One day a man was about to leave our church. I told him, I said, you know, I just want to warn you. Because he was a relative. A biological relative. I said, I just want to warn you. When you go, leave the church. If you leave me, just leave the congregation. Don't tamper. If you tamper, I told him, I will change towards you and you won't like me. You won't like me again. I will fight you. I will fight you with everything I have. Yes. I warn the people about you. I will preach against you. I will use my books. I will use my messages. All the congregation, don't touch the sheep. If you have resigned from being a shepherd in this flock, go, I will give you your pay. Don't take any of my sheep. Then he said to me, but you have 1,000 whatever churches. Just give one to me. I said, no, it's not like that. It's not like that. I said, I warn you. David was loving and kind, singing psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That I leave me lie down in green. When a lion came there for one of his sheep, the singing changed completely into a lion killer. A lion killer. He dropped the guitar and dropped the singing and stopped all those things and became a killer. Just one sheep that they came for from his flock. He killed a bear and a lion. And I tell you, those of you who, when you say kill a lion, you need to understand what it means to kill a lion. I have been bitten by a lion before. Yes. A baby lion. I've been bitten by a baby lion. It's a lion. I said, I've been bitten by a lion before. But it was a baby. And the strength of the bite of the baby lion, I tell you, it was strong. And even the guys in this lion park here, the guys said, let's go out now. Because of the way they were becoming. There was a baby and then an advanced baby. I said, no. So I can't imagine David fighting with a grown-up lion.
What type of man was he? Very. You wouldn't associate such a person with singing. All the Psalms, he wrote them. But he changed. He said, when you take my sheep, one of my sheep, you see a different type of me. And that's how shepherds must be. You must be strong in relation to the sheep. So sometimes, you know what my pastor, I said, look, you are my son. When you take this step now, you are 10. I told him, in Lighthouse, all our guns are pointing in this direction. And that is where you are going to stand. So when you stand there, you say, we don't like it because we are shooting this straight here. Our messages are going against disloyalty and all that, and you are going to stand straight over there. In the line of fire. And I, the next time I say fire, it will be as if I want to kill you. So, you need strength to overcome the wicked. I tell, wimps cannot overcome disloyalty. When you see a wimp of a pastor, you see orangus, he will even ordain them. He will have meetings with them. So, can you come? You know, I think we can work this out. We are a family. You know, come, let's talk. Come and let's talk. Where's your wife? Come for lunch. Come for dinner. So, okay, so you don't want to really address the issue. Those are wimps. Don't want to address the issue. But if you are strong, you call somebody and say, come. When I was preaching, you didn't write notes. Why? What? Everybody was writing. You are not writing. I don't understand it. You didn't say amen. I was watching your face. When people said, you don't say amen. Yeah, and also your attitude, no smile. You were not smiling. When people, everybody is laughing, your face was straight. Is there something wrong? We want to know. If an evil spirit has entered, you say it. But wimps, they don't want to address it. They allow you to be there, manifesting, talking to people, spoiling the church, poisoning people, taking things sorted out. Because you want to be the Mr. Nice Guy. You want to be the what? Mr. Nice Guy. That's your problem. That's why you can't be a strong leader. And you allow wickedness to go through. You know, recently I saw a church in Ghana. It would have been one of the biggest churches. But an orangu came to walk through the church. Yeah. He scattered the church. Up till today, the church is not the same. One of the pastors told me, he said, look, it is the people that we have lost to the world. They've gone to the world. That's even what is painful. You need to be strong, I tell you, to overcome wickedness. Leadership is necessary for overcoming the wickedness of disloyalty. Yes. Teach it. Teach it. Don't mind what people mean. People laugh at me and say, this is not necessary. This is not necessary. What is this? One church I went to, the guy said, what is this? Loyalty is not a book. It's not necessary. Yeah. He said, what is this? You know, then the next year I was invited by the same pastor, but I forgot what I preached. Sometimes I forget what I preached before. So I preached loyalty again. I don't know, but I felt the anointing to preach about loyalty. So he came and he told his pastor, he said, who told him we are quarreling here? Who told him we are quarreling? Why does he have to come and preach about that? And I was invited the third time in succession and I preached about loyalty again. And this time, he took the book and threw it on the ground and stamped on it. That's not necessary. What is loyalty? This is not a book. He was trying to let the book disappear into the ground. But it couldn't go down. Yeah. He died a few weeks later. Yes. He died a few weeks later. You have to be careful. You know, one pastor was telling us a story. You see, the stories you think is not true. He went to America for holidays. Some of these people are here. He had 3,000 members. 3,000.
You see, think of it as a farm. Think of it as your livelihood. 3,000 sheep, 3,000 cows. He went to America to do whatever, holiday, whatever, 6 weeks. When he came back, the assistant said, can I see you? When people want to see you, you must know. Why do they want to see you? Can I see you, please? He told him, God has spoken to me in my heart. What has God spoken? He says, I should resign. Resign? Why? What has happened? What is wrong? So no, I need to resign. Oh, there's no need to resign. Even if you want to resign, well, let us talk about it. No, I need to resign. He resigned. Left the church. All 3,000 members left the church. He was left with 15 members. 1-5. 15 members were left in the whole church. No, I mean, think about if it's your livelihood, your life, your life's work, everything about you is gone. Not even the building, the people are gone. And they all left. Wickedness. He died about 3 months later. He died. Yeah. Listen. You must know that strength is needed to combat wickedness. And I'm sending you forth to be strong. Be strong about disloyalty. Don't be wimpy about it. Don't talk about things indirectly. This type of indirect messages. There are things going on in the church. I think they could be better. What does it mean? What you are saying, what does it mean? There's room for improvement in the loyalty levels of the church. All right. Do you know, I'll tell you a secret. Many churches where there's a lot of disloyalty, the main thing is that the leader is not strong. Just as you can't make them come to church, you can't make them attend programs, you can't make them sit down, you can't make them stand up. You can only let them come to church when they want to. They can't also control orangus. You can't control musicians. You can't control lay people. You can't make people, you can't institute lay ministry in the church. You can't institute, you don't have the ability. It's the wimp. Ask your neighbor, is the wimp spirit in you? Is there that wimp spirit, is it in you? And number two, which may be the last point. You must strengthen yourself because your enemy is planning to attack you. 1 Kings 20, 20. And they slew every man. The Syrians fled. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel. Verse 22. And said, go and strengthen thyself. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against you. Satan is planning to attack you this year, 2017. Please, you don't need a prophet to tell you that. That says the Lord. The enemy is planning to attack. Please, please. I beg you. Read your Bible. It says that at the turn of the year, the enemy will come. He's planning to attack you. He's planning to kill you. He's planning to scatter your church. He's planning to disunite you. He's planning to fight you internally. You may not know. You may not expect it. But this is what is. So you need to strengthen yourself. Strength become stronger. What you are doing, be strong. Stabilize the system. Strengthen the system. For at the turn of the year, at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against you. You don't need any prophecy. Grace Bible Church, Lighthouse, whatever church you can, please. don't need a prophecy. At the return of the year, the enemy will come. He's gone to strengthen himself and come. You to strengthen yourself. I see you getting stronger. I see you getting stronger. Now you see, that's why you need to build buildings. When you build buildings and you are debt free, when the enemy tends to come and attack you, even if he takes away the important people in the church and the tithe payers, it doesn't spoil your life. Yeah, that's why it's good to do things without all this, because that is weakness in your life. So if the members are taken away, you are so hot. Can you imagine there is somebody in this church who earns 100,000 rands? Is that a lot of money? Is it a lot of money to earn in a month? Is it a high salary? So let's say 100,000 or 200,000. Let's say somebody you have 200,000 rands. His tithe is 20,000 rands every month. 20,000. This man alone, his tithe is more than about 600 people. That 20,000. Now suddenly Satan has targeted that man with evil thoughts. He's going to speak to him to take him away from you next year, so that your church will lose and feel the impact. Meanwhile, you are depending on him because your monthly payment alone is 40,000. He's taking that half because you are depending on that man's 20,000 that he's been paying regularly since he joined the church 1 year, 3 months ago. Now there is an attack. You see, there is an attack. There is an attack on you, and it's on your tithe payers, on your members, on what you depend on, and it's come to take it out, to spoil you and to take your life, to destroy you. Oh, you must be strong. You must be ready. Look, if I was not strong, I cannot lead my church into an uncompleted building. Even now, we move into uncompleted. Even now, where our church is so hot. It's hot. There's no air conditioning, no air. But we are in it, we are happy. I told the people, hey, sweat, sweat. Sweat. At the right time, we will fix air conditioners. The air conditioner costs about $300,000. I don't have money for that now. I'm doing some other things. We don't have money. I don't have money to borrow. I can't borrow money. I don't know how to borrow. Let us be in it and sweat. One day God will bless us with air conditioner. We'll be happy in the church. I don't need to impress you. I'm okay. But see, it takes strength. But some people really need to impress everybody. In case maybe we get a visitor and it's very hot and it's like, oh, why? Just be there like that. Just be there like that. Okay? So strengthen yourself. I tell you, Satan plans to come and attack. What about if Satan kills somebody you depend on in your life? It's an attack. You haven't thought about somebody dying, eh? Have you thought of somebody dying, somebody you depend on? Look, anybody you depend on who dies, eh, is a major strike on you. I tell you. You maybe you don't know. If somebody you relate with, somebody you depend on dies, imagine what's going to happen. It's a strike. Big time. Big time. It will change things. So you need to strengthen yourself so that any type of strike will not work. You are getting stronger in Jesus' name. And that's what John Wesley did when he bought those 400 buildings. You know, the one was, he said, that was the wisdom that he had. He bought the buildings, built them. He used to take offerings with his hat. He put his hat like this and stand and raise money for his church building. Yes. When I saw that, I said, wow. And I can also stand and hold my offering basket to raise money to build a church. Yeah. And he stabilized the church against future confusion because it was a clear organization. Many churches disappear. They don't have any building. It will be difficult to close down this church because of the structure that is done here. Very difficult. How many want your church to continue when you are gone? Then prepare. Be strong. Hey. Tell your neighbor, no more wimps. Wow. I'm becoming a strong leader. I said, I'm becoming a strong leader. Hallelujah. And finally, strengthen yourself because it is a wise thing to be strong. Proverbs 24 verse 5, a wise man is strong. No, it's not the last one. A wise man is strong. It's wisdom to be strong. Be wise and be strong. Every wise nation is armed. A good country has a good army. Number four, strengthen yourself so you can stand in the evil day. Take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, having done all to stand. And finally, strengthen yourself so that you can help other people. We then that are strong ought to bear the iniquities of the weak, the infirmities of the weak, Romans 15:1, and not to please ourselves. Amen. 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 Are you still around or you are leaving? Amen. Stand to your feet, everybody. Take two steps forward, two steps backward, two steps to the side, two steps to the left, north, south, east, west. Hey. Amen. Tell your neighbor. Neighbor, I sense you are becoming a strong leader. What did they say? Hallelujah. Now, I want to show you the attributes of a strong shepherd and a strong leader. When you are strong, these are the signs. Sit down for a moment. We are not going to be long. You see, I'm commanding you. I'm controlling you. Yes, I'm commanding you. I'm controlling you. I'm demonstrating what I'm teaching. You are not controlling me. I'm controlling you. I say stand up. I say sit down. I say stay. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you. I said, listen to me, I'm preaching to you. Now, the attributes of a leader is that he can make people, strong people, he can make people obey you gladly. He can make people obey gladly.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have a chapter in my book on the art of leadership. Make people obey you gladly. Make people obey you gladly. Chapter 17. Now listen, this is the mystery. This is the mystery. Are you ready for the mystery? This is the mystery. This is the mystery. You see, when I preach like how I'm preaching, I sound hard and strong. Is it not true? I sound very hard. So you would think that people are even afraid of me. But actually, our problem is that people accuse my disciples of loving me too much. Yes. It's like, who is this man? Why do you like him like that? Is he God? It's one of the biggest accusations that my... Oh, is it not the case? Yeah. So you would have thought that if the person is strong, people are obeying him against their own wishes. They don't even want to do it, but he's forcing them. And there's a special reason why they are forced to obey him. Yeah. Few of you will ever have the love that I have from the people that are with me. Yes. Few. I'm talking about love and liking and excitement when they hear that I'm coming. Is it not amazing? Yeah. So, being a strong leader is not about being a wicked person, but it is about making people obey you gladly. None of my missionaries is on the field against his wish or against his will. Most of the time, they are, you see, if you are in the picture, I don't like sending, for instance, people where they don't want to go. If you are part of the thing, you rather, I like to always to send people where they like to go. But sometimes I have to take that and say, no, you can't go here. Will you even have the love that I have? People don't work for me for money. People don't work for me for money. You can ask their qualifications and where they used to work before. Where highly placed. Yeah, 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 yeah. Nobody works for money. So you see, it's not about forcing people. People are free. They're happy. They want to do it. And it is you who have not developed the skill of making people obey you gladly and happily or happily. Amen? Look, after church, you see, everybody will go. Then these people are here. They don't want to go home. They don't want to go home. Why don't you go? We don't want to go. We want to be with you. Yes. We like you. We want to be with you. It's true. That's what I experience. If somebody loves you, you know that they love you.
So you have not developed your leadership skills to make people obey you happily. They're not doing this sad, they're doing it with joy. I don't know any mission. All of them, they always say, thank you for sending me here to Burundi, to Rwanda. My pastor in Rwanda is a medical doctor. He used to live in London. I said, I called him, it was Christmas time. I called him, I said, you have to leave London. He said, pardon? I said, you have to leave London. To where? To Rwanda. He was telling me later, he said, when I finished, he put the phone down and he sat in the chair. Hey, but when I see him, he says he never wants to leave Rwanda, never wants to go to London again. Never. They're about to start their building project there. So you see, as time goes by, you see, the people obey you gladly. Yes. Because they know. Do you think Bishop Saki had even 1 centimeter cubed of unhappiness to go to where he, when I asked him, go here? No. Or Bishop Ed? No. We are the best and closest as we have ever been, if not closer. As ever. With joy. We are so happy. With the analysis that we did just last week, we realized that we would have been at the same spot. Spot one. Yes. Bishop Saki, his main work was, when I finished preaching, he'll come and say, that was a powerful message. Have you been blessed? Now, a small girl does those things now. Yeah. Make people obey you gladly. How do you say it in South Africa? Gladly? Gladly. Sorry. Gladly. How many want to know how to make people obey you gladly? Nobody is obeying. You know, one of the things, I don't like people who are not happy. Hey, people who are not happy are dangerous people. What are they thinking? What are they thinking in their heads as they are sitting with you? Goodness. 9 ways to make people obey you gladly. Number one, don't give unreasonable instructions. Always you must be reasonable. Reasonable. Think about all the factors. Think about it carefully. Before you ask somebody to do something. If I ask you to play the piano without charging, is it unreasonable? I want to ask you a question. Would you have come to church or not as a pianist on Sunday? Would you have come? You would have come. So if when you came, you played, has anything gone out of your fingers after you played? Has something leaked out of your fingers? Have you lost something? Do ordinary Christians not come for rehearsals without being paid for rehearsals? So is it unreasonable to ask you to please come for rehearsal on Saturday without being paid? These are not unreasonable instructions. It's reasonable. There's nothing unreasonable asking you to play the drums without being paid at a conference. Oh, please. My lawyer friend who sent me the fax, the long fax with his bills, I wrapped it up and I gave it to him. It's not unreasonable at all. God has blessed you. I've been praying for you. You are blessed. What do you do in church? Is it not an opportunity for you to do something for? Don't you want a reward in heaven? Have you lost anything by typing out, a contract? What are the contracts? All contracts are the same. Look, let me tell you, the lawyers, they will not tell you. The contracts are in their computer. They just pick it and change the last person's name in it. And they change the name of the building. That's all. And they give it to you.
and they are charging you 20,000, 30,000, 100,000. To write your will, they are charging you so much. Go on the internet. The wills are on the internet. You can write. I give to my this. It's all in the computer. You can just print it out and write your will. Why should somebody charge you 10% of all that you own? The value of all your property, he is charging 10% to write your will. As a Christian who is serving the pastor, have you even still not a privilege for the pastor to ask you to do something personal? Is it not a privilege for you to even know more about him? Now you are charging him. You say, well, this is my work, you know. Pastor, you know. Your mouth like a lizard. And I didn't mention your name. Did I mention your name? And if you know you are not like a lizard, then be quiet. You are charging the pastor for writing his will. If you like, as soon as we close, just Google will, how to write a will, format for a will. It will just come for you straight away. And you are charging. So,
yeah. Do you have any diamonds?
I have diamonds.
Do you have any gold? Yeah. What the value it is? Okay, Pastor, you see, you know, this is the work we do, right? You know, and I thank God for the opportunity. So, in this case, it is my work. You know that it's my work. Usually we charge 12%, but because you are my pastor, it's 10%. 10% of your diamond, 10% of your gold, 10% of your house, 10% of your car, 10% of everything. Is he a good lawyer for the pastor? Is it not an opportunity to just change the name here and change the name? So, Pastor, don't worry. Just remove the name of the old person whose will you wrote, Francisca. Francisca Cauhello, you've changed her name. And you put in a new person, Ruth, whatever. And then you change the date. It was 1973. You change it to 2017. And then you write, sign, witnesses. Ah, look at it. Some online wills. Create your own will. It's there. Create your own will. It has come on the screen. Create your own will. Protect your loved ones. Write the introduction. Start clearly by labeling the document, the last will and testament of your name. Then your name comes there. And you are charging 10% of the poor pastor's gold, his diamonds, his house, his everything. Oh, please. Please. Even you search how to buy land, document for buying land, it will come. They are all there. It's all there. Yeah. What was the topic, by the way? What are we talking about? Huh? Don't give unreasonable instructions. I knew what I was trying to test to see whether you had forgotten what we were talking about. Is it unreasonable to ask the pastor to ask him to write the will free of charge? It's not unreasonable. I don't think so. He's been preaching to you all this time. Will you get a chance to do something for him? Oh, please. So don't give unreasonable. Most of my instructions, I try not unreasonable. Even when I'm transferring people, I look and say, okay, this, my child is in school. I have to do this. Okay, so you go first. Then your wife can come later and your child should finish class 3, class 4. When she finishes, then they come. Is that okay? It's okay. Fine. We are not here to spoil people's lives. We are here to build people's lives. So when you give unreasonable instructions, that's when people start to say, these people, this man is not unreasonable. So as a pastor, if I ask you to sit down here, sit down whilst I preach.
How long are we here for? Today, tomorrow, we finish. Is it wrong to ask you, stay for 30 minutes more? What are you going to do when we close? Talking, chatting, finding food. What are you going to do? I've not asked you for any unreasonable thing. Look at how expensive it is to come here, to gather ourselves, to do whatever. Have I asked you something unreasonable? I'm teaching you the point. I cannot even progress through the points. It's not unreasonable. So our camps, you see people sitting there, why? Are you torturing them? They are very happy. They want me to say that I'm coming for, you will see the rejoicing. So we are coming for a camp where we sit for hours. They are so happy. So you will think that there's some punishment. Nothing like that at all. You don't know anything about leadership. That is why. And over I've explained at camps. I said, look, I don't live here. It is a short time. We have 2 days. We just have a few. Let's make the most of it. And the people can see that it's reasonable. It's true. He can't come every year. Some places we don't have a camp for years. So if there is one, let's make the most of it. After all, that is why we are here. It is not unreasonable. Number two, to make people obey you glad. Teach them about what you want them to do. Teaching. You see, if you take time to teach your members, all right, why they should come for rehearsal, why they should work as lay people, what it is in the word of God, they will follow you gladly. Gladly. Teach your followers. Teaching. Amen.
Amen.
That is why if you try to follow somebody, you may fall flat on your face. Because before the person embarked on that journey, he has spent a lot of time teaching the people that you don't know about. So when you want to start branches, and we say, teach the people this, let them go to Bible school, teach them loyalty, teach them, you don't do that one, then you find people are not obeying you gladly, and they want to break away all the time. But if you teach them, they will not want to break out, because you will teach them that of all the people Jesus met, he never said, it would have been better you were not born to this, all the criminals, Judas, Herod, prostitutes, but for Judas, he said, it would have been better you were not born. When you teach like that, people say, everything I must do, but I must not be disloyal. When you teach it properly, they will say, everything I must, but I should not turn against my pastor who has been standing in this pulpit talking to me week after. I cannot do that, no matter what happens to him. Bishop Eddie Long, you heard he died, those of you who know him from television. Yeah. The last sermon I think he preached, he stood there, he was crying. And he said, you are the people that have stood with me. You were with me. You didn't accuse me. You didn't judge me. When your pastor is in a difficult place, in difficulty, you didn't accuse me. You didn't judge me. You are the ones that stayed with me. When you teach your people, they will stay with you. They will be there. No matter, even if you are carried on a stretcher to preach, they will sit down quietly with the microphone on your head like this. Through the stretcher. And you speak through the stretcher. And they will all be there to just listen to you. They will never leave you. You have to teach it. You have to. Don't try. People who trifle with this. These Macarios and the things that are in it. You are trifling. I know pastors who have come. Look, we have had pastors who have come to buy hundreds. They have understood it. This box, hundreds of it for their church. So I want 200. I want 400. And just last week, we found somebody who is printing secretly 3,000 of this somewhere. When I said, rejoice. It's a blessing. He needs 3,000. He's making it for himself. I don't know. We don't know who it is.
He's doing 3,000 of this by himself. Yes, by himself. We don't know who is doing it. Yes. When you understand teaching, you know it's the most powerful thing. Don't work with people you've not trained. Abraham had servants. Bible calls it servants armed and trained. Don't work with people you've not trained. They are dangerous people. They will turn a knife on you just now. You'll be surprised. All my people, they are trained. They are trained in things that you don't even know about. Without training, I will not be close to them. You can't be close to me without training. I'm always talking. All my people, that we don't play music. When we travel from Bulawayo to Victoria Falls, there's not even one music in the car. Talking. Meetings. We stop. These people should come to the car. These people should go to another car. Come. Then, these people should come. Sit down. Talking. 10 hours. Not even one music. There's no need of music in my car because of talking. You don't teach your people, therefore they won't obey you gladly. They don't understand obedience. They don't even understand what's going on. You give one instruction, they look at you. What do you, who do you think you are? You can't come and tell us. You can't. Because you don't have teaching. That's why you talk like that. But if you have teaching, you never say you can't come and tell us. You say, well, thank you for this instruction. You say, what a blessing to be told what to do. In fact, when you are told what to do, life is easy. That's how you talk when you are trained. When you are not trained, you can't come and tell us what. One day, one of the crusade directors was having a meeting with the pastors. One of the pastors says, look, you can't come and tell us. You can't come. Don't wave your hand like that. You can't. Just a normal meeting. We have never, in any country, I've never had this in any country. Only South Africa. You can't tell us that. That's why you can get up and burn your universities and burn things. Just burn and get away with it. It's only here. I shouldn't say it, you see. Do you like truth? How to make people obey you, not unhappily, not unwillingly, not angrily, happily. Happily. There was a girl, I called her. She was in the UK. Irene, where is she? She said, you must have seen her. She's the one working here. She's a lawyer, practicing lawyer. She was a practicing lawyer in the UK. Every time we have come, she's always on the phone. A judge is calling her about something. Judges. A judge has never called me since I was born. A judge has never, I don't know judges. She knows judges because she's in court in England all the time. One day at a camp, I put my hand on her. I said, I've changed your profession. She came for camps. You listen to the camp. She was an artist. All out. And those type of camp. She's sitting there. I said, your profession has changed. Ah, that's it. This one. Yeah. She's a lawyer. So I called, I said, I'm sending you to Mali. Say Mali. Say Mali. Bamako. And she went happily. Happily. Make people obey you gladly. Gladly. The reason you can't send anybody. The reason nobody is sent from this great nation, South Africa. How many were impressed with your country, South Africa, when you watched the film? Did you not feel your country is great? Yes, it's a great country. When you see the visit, there's nowhere in Africa like this. Very great nation. Not even one missionary. Oh, shame.
The greatness is not in the spiritual, in the leadership of the church. As for churches, there are plenty. Americanized pastors. Glory to God. Half businessmen, half pastors. Hybrid para business pastors. That's her. She's not angry with me. You can ask her. I've not spoiled her life. She's happy. She's happy. We'll be at a camp. What are you on the phone? So the judge called me. The judge called me. The case I told him about, John, I can't come to court today because I'm doing something. I'll come tomorrow. I changed her life. Happily. 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 Make people obey you gladly. Teach them. When you teach them, they will not be. They know it themselves more that it is good. Yeah. Number three, explain things to people. Explain. Explain. More explanations. Yes. So sometimes the teaching must go further to deeper understanding and explanations. Yeah. Number four, show people that you are not partial or partisan. Show people that you are not partial. I'm talking about how to make people obey you gladly. Show them that you are not partial. When people see that you are not partial, you have not just selected me to do something to me. Huh? Before I asked Bishop Saki to move from the Kodesh, I myself moved from the Kodesh. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So it's not a selective thing against me, against somebody. It's all of us. I moved myself. One day, you know, I had one of our pastors, he was in Kumasi. He had a big church. And then I said to him one day, move. Come to Accra. I said, yes. Ha, move. He moved. And his father said something. He said, your bishop is a very wise man. Because that's my in-law. I can move him, and I move him. I don't just do it for this, for that. You know, I do it to all of them. Yes. Some of you, you may not even say, my son, I said, go here. Go into the sun. Start from zero. So, God is making us strong leaders. Number, how many numbers do you have? Five. Number six. Number five, show the people that you yourself are under that same type of instruction. That you're also following instructions. If I teach people to honor, I show them that I'm honoring. Amen. For I am a man under authority. That's what the guy said. I am a man and I'm not alone in this thing. I'm also under something. I'm also under something. So as I'm asking you to go, make sure I'm being asked to go. I'm not doing what I want. Then people realize that you too are also having to not do what you want, but what somebody says you should do. Are you excited about that? Make people obey you. All these things reduce their resistance to obeying you. Number six. Get rid of complaining and murmuring people. Number seven. Correct wrong attitudes even when they are not fully developed. Amen. Now, get rid of murmuring people. Brothers and sisters, a murmur is a spiritual emergency. A murmur is what? Get rid of him quickly. It's like cancer. Cut it out quickly. You don't wait for more days and more months, even days sometimes. You cut it out fast. The faster and the quicker, the better. Even now with breast lumps and whatever, when they get it, you know, first they used to just cut off all the breast. You cut your breast, your this muscle, pectoralis major, they take everything, clear you to the bones, like they are trying to skin you to bones. You know, now they don't do that. If they get it early, if they get it below a certain size, they will never cut off your breast. They don't do that anymore. But if it goes beyond the sensor, so it's the faster it's seen. That's the main key. So, unhappy people who have unhappiness in their eyes, they are emergencies. What must we do with it? The smaller size, cut it out. Are you with me? Are you excited about what I'm sharing? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Why? One rotten apple spoils all the other apples. So when you have happy people, one time I had people, I sent them somewhere, and another person came and joined them, and he started grumbling. He said, I don't want to do this all my life. That was one of his comments. Why did they talk to me like that? Why did they talk to me like a child? Nobody had thought that anyone was talking to anyone like a child. As soon as he mentioned, why did they talk to me like a child? She didn't talk to me like that. Hey, we had not heard such a comment. It was an emergency. He said, let this man go. Now. So some of us, we allow these people to be there. You can't make a group of disgruntled people obey you gladly. They will never obey you gladly. You must be fast at cutting out. Cut out. That's how to save the life of the body. Look, you see, almost everybody has it. You have a little pimple on your face. Cancer can be the size of that pimple. Bob Marley, his hobby, you know Bob Marley? His hobby was soccer. He loved soccer. Bob Marley was a half caste like me. His father was a white man. His mother was a Jamaican black lady, yeah. So he was colored. 0.5. One day he was playing football and he had a sore on his foot. And you know, they thought it was a sore. It wasn't going. It wasn't getting healed. So when they went to the hospital, they told him, listen, this is cancer in your toe. We need to cut it off. And he said no. They explained everything. He said no. So then in the end, they just, okay, we just scrape something. And he said that he will not be able to dance on stage. And he was just 30 something years old. Skin cancer. Yeah. And they said, you had that also? Yeah. Diabetes. No, but that was cancer. And they said, cut it off. He died a couple of years later. And they said, if he had allowed them to, he would have been alive. So some of us, our churches would have been alive if you had allowed us to cut it off. Cut off that person. Your whole system would have been working. You would speak, you'd be like God. When you say, everybody go, everybody, oh, we are going. When you say, come, say, hey, we are coming. Recently, I had a meeting in Ghana, and I invited some people. They live in Switzerland. They are Swiss. They live in Switzerland. They work in rich banks in Switzerland. But they are half Swiss and half from another country. When they came, I said, huh? Yeah, 0.5. I said, I want you to go to Congo. I want you to go to Congo. I didn't even say go to Congo. Before I said go to Congo, they knew that they have to go to Congo. Because they speak the language. And I want them to go there. They have resigned everything, left their banks, everything, Switzerland, all they are moving. And yesterday, the wife sent me a text. She sent me a song. We are going, heaven knows how we are going. We know we will. It will be rough, we know. And the road will. She sent me the text. Sarah is stormy, but we'll get there. Heaven knows how we will get there. We know we will. From Switzerland to Congo. How to make people obey you gladly. Teaching. Make them understand. Teach them. We don't teach. When we have camp, we say, oh, it's too much. It's too long. It's too this. It's too that. Why do you do this? Why do the book is not necessary? How is you? Are you trying to sell something? All this is all against what you need to make people obey you gladly. I don't exert strength. I don't even exert strength. I don't need to. The people want to do, they are flowing. They are flowing. It's not a special thing. Oh. Huh? It's like touching somebody who is already falling down. You just, I'm going anyway. Amazing. Isn't it amazing? How many are going to be strong leaders? And make people obey you gladly. Teach them. Teach them. Teach them. Teach them. Teach them. They can. They can. They can. I'm telling you. Make people. Nobody obeys me angrily. I'm telling you. You can look around. Just look around. But you can see them. If they are angry. Occasionally, people are not, but how? It is not common. Yeah. The problem is that they are accused of loving me too much. Whereas in the nations, most people are angry with the government. True or not true? The next one, punish people. Who disobey. Yes. Proverbs 29:4. The king by judgment establishes the land. You see, when people see the judgment is clear, it establishes the church, the land, and the ministry. Are you there? Yeah. The king by judgment establishes the land. That's why I was telling those who are walking out on me when I was talking that your child will walk out on you. That's the punishment. Somebody was asking me the other day, is it what I said that has made his child leave the house? I said, look, I have not asked your child to leave. If you have been walking out when people are talking, you have yourself to blame. Are you listening to me? Yes. Establish the church with judgment. Look at it. Proverbs 29:4. When people are allowed to run amok, do whatever they want, insult anybody, burn down structures, do whatever. That's what establishes the judgment. Establishes the land. Yes. Judgment. That's why when something goes wrong, they will investigate and investigate to find out who is wrong. If a pilot, you make a mistake, they will follow you to the end. Recently, one young man was telling me, Emirates, one of these planes, I don't know whether I'm supposed to say, but
maybe I don't know what I'm supposed to say, but a plane, it was going somewhere. It went to another country. It went to a different country. When they arrived and they came back, because the pilot made a mistake. When he came, they dismissed him outright, took his license, everything, instant. You can't make a mistake with these people on board. Not this type of mistake. We had an accident after the crusade on a way out of Zimbabwe. It was a mistake. Those people have lost their jobs. I said, you can't stay. Because they were not supposed to do what they did. They were not supposed to drive at that time. They were not supposed to leave at that time. All the things they did were wrong. That was it. They've all lost their jobs. I said, it's not possible to continue. No matter how long you have been here, it's not possible. For everybody to be afraid. I said, you would have been bringing dead bodies back to Ghana. Now, if you don't do that, people don't realize the importance of obeying what you are saying. Not when people's lives are in your hands. If this building was to fall down, they will arrest the pastor, arrest the engineer, arrest the architect, arrest everybody to find out who didn't do what he was supposed to do right. You can't just build something on people's heads. People have to know the importance of obeying. You can't be a pilot and you don't check whatever. You are flying to South Africa, you end up in Philippines. And you are flying in there, you can't see which country you are flying over before you realize you are landing in Philippines. How? Even that plane that disappeared 4 years ago, we can't find a trace, not even a chair, not even a slight, even colored, nothing disappeared into thin air. Full of Malaysians and Chinese. Full. Boeing 777 disappeared. They are strapped in the plane. So by judgment, it becomes, people will realize, no, when they say this, you better do, otherwise it's going to be a big thing. Eh? But where the pastor is a wimp. Where the pastor is a what?
Wimp.
A wimp. One of the people that was sacked came crying. I said, come, let me hug you. But you are still sacked. Go. You are my daughter, but you have forced me to sack you. No. Number 9. Reward people. Amen. Accordingly, amen. Jesus, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. Amen. You must always set joy before people. For the joy that was set before him. For the joy. The joy. The joy. The joy. Amen. There is joy in the house of God and in the work of the Lord. Are you excited about that? So what are the 9 ways to make people obey you gladly? Number 1. Don't give what?
Unreasonable
instruction. Number 2. Teach them. Isn't it? Teach them, train them. Number 3. Huh?
Explain.
So the one of your favorite questions is, do you understand? Okay, tell me what you understand. Tell me what you understand. Next one. Huh? Show them that you are not partial. Yes. This is chapter 17 of this book. Chapter 17. Make people obey you gladly. The art of leadership. The art of strong leadership. Should I change the title to strong leadership? The next one. Show people that you are also under instructions. Number 6.
Get rid of complaining and murmuring. Next one, number 7. Correct attitudes, wrong attitudes, even when they are not fully developed. What is it? An emergency. Is it an emergency? Number 8. Punish people who disobey. And number 9. Reward people accordingly. Stand to your feet, everybody. The art of leadership. The art of leadership. The art of leadership. Hallelujah. How many of you realize that being a strong leader is not about people being angry with you? No, you do it well, they will like you more than they like the wimps. Tell your neighbor, it's either a wimp or a strong leader. It's your choice. Which one are you choosing? Strong. If I was living in South Africa, I'll teach. And my church members in South Africa, never has anybody ever said, you can't tell us this. You can't. Never. Because we teach them. I don't see the difference between a South African and somebody from Ghana when it comes to the church. Once they are in the church, oh, they are the normal, not even more flowing. More. It's just people have not been taught. That's why they can say, you can't come and tell us. If somebody were to say, stand up, you can't come, 100 people would get up and smash that person down. They would tell you, you can't get up and talk like that at a meeting. Nonsense. Come outside, please. Come outside with us now. Come outside with us now. This is your last meeting here. You are out. Fire for fire. Yeah. If you are trained the people, they would rather say, you can't talk to our pastor like that. Yes. You have to train your people so they are wilder than you. You rather be controlling them. Your people must be wilder than you. Yes. My guys are wild. They are wild people. Sometimes they want to beat people. I said, you can't beat. You are pastors. You can't beat people. Is it amazing? Is it fantastic? Is it not wonderful? Lift your hands to Jesus and ask Him. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for making us strong leaders. Strong leaders. Strong, 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 strong leaders. Strong leadership. Strong leadership. We give you praise, Lord. We give you thanks, Jesus. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for strength to lead the people. Strength to go forward. Strength to build churches. Strength to take offerings. Strength to do what is right. Strength to serve you well. Oh, Jesus, thank you for your blessing, your power, your glory. We give you thanks. Thank you for taking away the deficiency in leadership from our lives. The deficiency in strength. Thank you for giving us the strength, spirituality, holiness, maturity, depth. Thank you for making us men of strength in you. Thank you for telling us to be strong. Only be strong. Only be strong. Thank you that you are blessing the church. You are blessing our lives. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you praise, Jesus. We love you. We honor you. Thank you, dear Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. All right, please be seated. We want to take an offering. Don't even think.
of going out of the hall. Don't let it even come to your mind. Listen. I need some envelopes. Give me envelopes. I'm more tired than all of you, please. Father, I thank you for the gift of giving. There is no prosperity without giving. And I know you are blessing many people here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you give your offering, listen, hello, at the back everywhere, please. Can you pay attention? I need some envelopes. I believe you are, somebody's getting me some more envelopes. Before we take the offering, I want to ask you to give, because today is, you know, tomorrow is actually the last day we can, although I'll be here on Sunday, God willing. Thank you. Although I'll be here on Sunday, but the conference itself is ending tomorrow. I want to ask all of you to just sit down for a minute. Just, you guys can stand here. But everyone else, please sit for just a minute, please. All the wonderful security guards at the back, God bless you. Now listen, I want you to support this conference. Do you want me to say everything and you'll be embarrassed? Oh, I said, do you want me to say everything and you'll be embarrassed? The cost of this, the cost of this, the cost of this, the cost of this, the cost. And it's not nice. All right. So I want to just give you some envelopes to take a special offering. By the way, it takes strength to take offerings. If you are not strong, you can also take offerings. Your money will be finished. But I want many people to just give 1,000 rands as a special offering. Just to come for my envelope. Tomorrow, you bring it. But apart from, just for now, just that's all I'm doing. 1,000 rands. I want thousands of people to come for my envelope. Rush on me so that I fall down. With the rush. God bless you. Just 1,000 rands as a special gift to the Give Thyself Holy. Maybe some of the pastors can help me to give the envelopes for the sake of speed. Please write on it, Give Thyself Holy Special Offering. Thank you. Just 1,000 rands. That's for tomorrow. I'm going to take today's offering. Today's offering, too, I'm going to ask you to give nicely, but I just need you to give 1,000 special rands, please. 1,000 rands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God. I need more envelopes. Please come all the way and take my envelope. Please write on it, Give Thyself Holy, 1,000 rands. What a blessing. Please. Tomorrow when you are coming, please bring it as a special seed. Okay? And I know there's no prosperity without giving. So I need you to give. God is going to bless you. Yes. You are going to give more than you gave the last time to make it possible for Give Thyself Holy to be held in other nations, other places. Am I teaching you and making you understand? Am I making it easy to you for you to obey me gladly? Are you obeying me gladly? Yes. Wow. Obey me gladly. 1,000 rands. Just as an offering. There's no magic in it. There's no magic in it. There's no, like, if you give 1,000, you get 37,000 from based on Psalm 37. No. Just give. You'll be blessed. You are blessed. Amen. 1,000 rands. Tomorrow, I thank you for the gift, the blessing you are giving. Amen. Now, Ida, sing something that will make people give. Father, touch the hearts of more people who are sitting down to give 1,000 rands as a special offering tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Come, there are more than 100 people. Come for my envelope, please. Give again. Some of you haven't given. 1,000 rands. Get up and come. Get up and come. Get up and come. It's a blessing for you.
Come. From the back, from everywhere. Come. I'm waiting for you. There are more than 100 people, I believe. Get up and come. I'm waiting for you. Please come quickly so that we don't... Don't let it be that we are like we are extracting your tooth. 1,000 rands shouldn't be a long discussion for you to give an offering of 1,000 rands. It's not even $100, you know. $100 is 1,500 rands. Come. Get up and come. Pinch your neighbors sitting by. Say, look, I'm surprised. Tell them, I'm surprised that, like, I'm actually surprised at your attitude. Yes. Two envelopes. 1,000 rands to help the conference. What a blessing, please. God bless you. 3. Wow. Be blessed. There's more than 100 people. So I don't know if the 100 people have come. But it's a blessing, please. Thank you. Be blessed. This envelope is more than an envelope. It's a blessing. Receive it in Jesus' name. Come and sow a seed. When you go to the mall, is it mall you call it here? Mall? Is it mall, shopping mall? Shopping mall? Does 1,000 rand go far? Not at all. But when you come to church, then it looks big. How can something have two sizes, small and big? Small in the mall and big in the church. Huh? Small in the mall and big in the church. God bless you. This is for tomorrow. Tomorrow. And don't keep the envelope in your house without bringing it. It's very dangerous. Now, yes. Tell the person next to you who didn't come that. Tell the person, I was going to marry you, but I've changed my mind. Like, I thought you were a generous person, but like, I'm seeing another character in you. By sitting by you, I'm seeing another character that I didn't see before. Have you finished coming? Who is taking the last envelope?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Bless you, my dear.
And
who is taking the last one? Anybody else?
Understanding in all your ways.
Ah, you are now singing.
And he shall direct.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
And he shall
receive more than an envelope. Come. Sing it, Ida. It helps.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding.
Am I making you obey gladly? Are you not laughing as you are giving? Yes. And you are smiling.
And he shall direct.
All right. Thank you.
And he shall direct.
Now, this envelope is tomorrow morning. And tomorrow I will give envelopes again. If you don't want to give, don't come. Is it reasonable? I've even told you ahead so that you avoid it. Do you understand? So I'm giving reasonable instructions. Is it not reasonable? Yes. It's not like I trap you in the church and I say give an offering. No, it's like I even tell you ahead of time. So you prepare, you don't come. Well, you can't get it better than that. Take out your offering for tonight. Tonight's offering. I've been preaching for some hours. Aha, you can also swipe. Please try, you know. It's freely you have received. Free. There's no cost. There's nothing. It's all a free blessing. But we try to cover some of the costs. That's all. So that we are not so far in the negative. I don't want to worry you with all the costs.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
and lift up your offering. Father, thanks a million for the great blessing that you give to us today. In Jesus' name. Multiply. Take away debts. Take away difficulties. And bless your children. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please come and put your offering here. Come and put your offering in. And
lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct. And He shall direct your trust in the Lord with all your heart. Oh, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Oh, and He shall direct. And He shall direct.
Members can be excused. Well, it's a blessing. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord? And the rest of us, let's take this announcement. Tomorrow, 8 o'clock, we are starting. Remember that we only have tomorrow. So be sure to be here on time. Be seated. And 8 o'clock sharp will be on till we come to a close. But has it been a wonderful evening? Has it been a fantastic night? I think that's been a wonderful, real, amazing day. The thing that Bishop has taught us today, if we can apply this.